January 27, 2017. Where does our money go? Good morning. Ogden Nash, an American poet, wrote, "Oh, money, money, money. I'm not necessarily one of those who thinks thee holy, but I often stop to wonder how thou canst go out so fast when thou comest in so slowly." Can you relate to Ogden's lament? There's actually biblical truth to his words. In Proverbs 23:5, we read, "Your money flies away before you know it, just like an eagle suddenly taking off." Governments, businesses, households, and individuals alike all have limited resources. The dilemma we face is that there's never enough money to buy everything we want. There are substantially more ways to spend money than there is money available. And once we spend that money, it's gone forever. It can never be used for anything else. If you're like me, you want to be a good steward of the money God provides. Therefore, we need to have a financial plan to use our limited resources to accomplish those God-given goals and objectives. If we have a plan, it's less likely that we will respond to our emotions when it comes to spending. We use our money to live: food, rent, property taxes, utilities, transportation, insurance, clothing, and supporting our lifestyle choices. We also need to pay what we owe: taxes and debt repayments. These uses are all consumptive in nature. In addition, some of us may use our money in the short term to put towards savings and maybe even give to the church, the needy, and other ministries. Saving and giving are productive in nature. Live, give, owe, and grow. That summarizes the short-term uses of money. Our priorities dictate how we use our financial resources. Although many of us Christians would like to say that giving and saving are our top priorities, in reality, supporting our lifestyle is usually number one. The second is related to the first. Because of our lifestyle choices, we need to make payments on our accumulated debt. Taxes are usually third because we don't have a choice in that matter. Saving is typically fourth, with giving as the fifth and final priority. Guess which one is often neglected? That's right, giving. When it comes to saving, we need to balance it with our giving. Jesus told a parable of a farmer in Luke 12:16-21. In the Message version, we read, "The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, 'What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest.' Then he said, 'Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, Self, you've done well. You got it made and can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' Just then God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it?' That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God." So was the farmer foolish because he saved? No. He was foolish because he saved all he made and didn't balance it with generosity. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction." When we want to get rich, we are motivated by pride, greed, or an unhealthy urge to prepare for uncertain economic times. We put our trust in money. We develop a love for money. So is it wrong to be rich? No. Many heroes of faith in the Bible were rich. In Navigating Your Finances God's Way, Howard Dayton wrote, "There's nothing wrong with becoming wealthy if it is a byproduct of being faithful. The key to overcoming the temptation to get rich is not to avoid saving, but to balance it with giving, as you submit to the authority of God as Lord of your life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 12:34. May you be blessed by God as you prayerfully plan how you will use your limited resources. Remember, how you use your money has eternal implications. Have a great weekend.